Yo, yo, yo! What is up, beautiful people? It is Monday. That's right, the weekend certainly flew by, but what a gorgeous weekend it was, right, folks? But hey, it is back to business on this April 20th, 2015. So honored and glad you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a fantastic show in store for all of you today. Of course, we'll recap the weekend that was in the NHL playoffs. The Detroit Red Wings and the Tampa Bay Lightning are now all tied up. We'll recap how that happened over the weekend. Also, we'll chat a little MSU football as, of course, MSU spring practice. And I guess you can see, yeah, the spring practice is in full session right now. Of course, the spring game is happening this weekend. Second scrimmage is in the books. We'll chat about that. Also, we will invite a local high school basketball star who has made a pretty cool decision to play for Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team. You'll get to hear from him in just a sec. Also, we've got weekend winners. We'll chat about the NBA playoffs, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. That is the number to call in. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this April 20th. All right, and we begin with Michigan State spring football. Now, Michigan State's defense won its second straight full scrimmage, 43-37, the final of that one over the offense on Saturday, thanks to a defensive touchdown, safety, and two interceptions on Connor Cook. Now, defensive tackle Malik McDowell and cornerback Jermaine Edmondson each had interceptions, while cornerback Vyonte Copeland returned a fumble for a TD, and Riley Bulla got the safety for a sack. Now, for the second straight scrimmage, quarterback Connor Cook had a pair of turnovers and a touchdown, finishing 17 for 26 and 176 yards. Running back Madre London finished for 100 yards on 18 carries with a TD. Jamal Lyles had three catches for 57 yards and a touchdown. And DeAnthony Arnett had seven catches for 46 yards for the offense in the loss. We'll talk more about Michigan State spring football in just a sec. Michigan State added another player to its heralded 2015 basketball recruiting class when Connor George, son of women's volleyball coach Kathy George, accepted a preferred walk-on spot this weekend. Now, the 6'3" Okemos native averaged 23 points and 10.6 rebounds during the regular season while earning all-state recognition from the Associated Press. Hey, you'll get to hear from Connor George in just a sec, folks. He is our guest for today's show. You don't want to miss that chat in just a sec. And Youngstown State transfer Marcus Keene is transferring to Central Michigan, bolstering a backcourt that lost two seniors from a record-breaking Chippewa team. Now, Keene averaged 15.6 points per game as a sophomore last year and will have 2 years of eligibility remaining after sitting out next season. All right, the Red Wings, after taking the first game of their first-round series against Tampa Bay, the Red Wings were defeated 5-1 on Saturday as the Tampa Bay Lightning tied things up at a game apiece. Now, the Wings should have the advantage with the next two games being at the friendly confines of Joe Louis Arena, especially considering Tampa Bay's relative mediocrity away from the comforts of a Amalie Arena. But the Wings are 0-3 in their last three home playoff games and just 2-8 in their last 10 playoff games, going back to Game 4 at home against Chicago when the Wings took a 3-1 series lead in that second-round series 2 years ago. All right, the Detroit Tigers continued their hot start to the year, taking two of the three from the White Sox over the weekend. Now, Detroit had the best record in the MLB at 10-2. They have the best record in MLB at 10-2, and they are doing it in an entirely new way. The Tigers' four-year run of AL Central titles came with power hitting and power pitching, but now as they try to secure their fifth straight, the formula has changed. K-9 is down for their rotation, but they don't walk batters, and they are also leading the league in stolen bases and sit at second in total fielding percentage. How about those Tigers, huh? Most of the opening weekend of the NBA playoffs went as expected in terms of seeding in the East. The Hawks took care of the Nets. LeBron let his sidekicks get their feet wet in the playoffs as the Cavs cruised against the Celtics. The Bulls took care of business against the Bucks with a very inspiring performance from Derrick Rose in his return to the playoffs. The only upset, as with the West, came in the 4-5 game with the Wizards taking the first game from the Toronto Raptors in Toronto. Now, out of the West, the Warriors held off a late rally from future perennial MVP candidate Anthony Davis and the New Orleans Pelicans. Houston took the opener from in-state rival Dallas. The Clippers looked like a team on a mission last night, and their win over defending champion San Antonio Spurs and the Grizzlies upset the Blazers in Portland. After the Eagles brought in Tim Tebow for a workout back in March, according to a league source, Tebow is set to sign a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles today. Now, Tebow flew into Philly last night just in time for the start of the offseason workouts beginning today. How about that? Now, with the addition of Tebow, that gives the Eagles four quarterbacks on their roster. And last but certainly not least, the Kansas City Royals overcame five ejections to beat the Oakland Athletics 4-2 yesterday. Royals manager Ned Yost and pitching coach Dave Elian were ejected in the first inning after Lorenzo Cain was hit by a Scott Kazmir pitch. And both teams were issued a warning by plate umpire Greg Gibson. It was ugly last night, folks. All right, well, those are your current sports quick and headliners. Our phone lines are open. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. So, hey, let's start the show. And that number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Hey, how was your weekend, folks? It was a beautiful weekend in mid-Michigan, 70 degrees. The sun was out. The birds were chirping. I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable weekend here in mid-Michigan. Of course, this week is bringing about a little bit of a different taste of weather. Back in the 50s, a little chilly outside, but still nice, a little rainy. Certainly not like this past weekend, but at the same time, hey, I always say it's a beautiful day anytime you are alive and living, okay, folks? But we are so glad and so honored that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Monday afternoon. Again, as I just stated, we're going to have Connor George on the show right after our first break. Now, of course, as I just stated in our Quicken Headliners, Michigan State adding Connor George. He will be joining the Michigan State men's basketball team as a preferred walk-on. How about that? Now, Connor George, it's been a pleasure covering him in high school. Of course, one of the best players in the area of mid-Michigan. Very efficient player. He's 6'3". Okemos this year, they had a 13-9 record, where Connor actually averaged 23 points, a little over 10 rebounds during the regular season, so averaging a double-double. He was ranked among the area's leaders in both categories. But I always find stories like that very intriguing because, you know, Connor certainly, looking at the numbers that he threw up and the type of player that he is, he garnered a lot of attention, you know, maybe not at the Division I level, but at the Division II level, Division III level. I mean, he had schools, you know, like Grand Valley looking at him. But, you know, he decided, you know, when the opportunity presented itself, which is kind of cool at how it happened. You'll get to hear that later on in the show. But when the opportunity presented itself for him to possibly be a part of the Tom Izzo era here at Michigan State University, he certainly jumped at it. Connor, of course, grew up here in East Lansing, of course, with his mom being Kathy George, who is the head women's volleyball coach. So he's had always close ties to Spartan Nation. So when the opportunity presented itself for him to be a preferred walk-on with the squad, he certainly jumped at it. So you'll get to hear from Connor in just a sec on how this opportunity presented itself. About if there, you know, if he ever thinks about, you know, possibly what his basketball career would be like if he was to go to a Grand Valley or a Northwood, where most likely he may be starting right off the bat and be an immediate contributor with the squad like that. But of course, when walking on here at Michigan State, there's so much talent on this team playing Division I college hoops where you are going to have to take a few steps back. So we'll dive into Connor's mindset, into how that story broke. Really cool, actually, how it all happened. So you do not want to miss that. Also, later on in the hour, we'll recap the weekend that was in the world of sports with our weekend winner segment. And we'll also chat about the NBA playoffs as well. You know, it's a bit weird, you know, to start this week because, of course, you know, Friday, it's kind of still surreal to me. I kind of have to pinch myself. Friday was the last day for longtime current sports radio engineer and production assistant, Alex Sharg. Of course, Alex, he's a senior here at Michigan State. He's done one fantastic job and been involved with WKAR throughout the majority of his college career. And, of course, Alex will be crossing the stage at the Breslin Center and getting that that heralded piece of paper, that degree, next month. So last week, on Friday, you know, kind of a bittersweet moment for him, seeing as though it was his last current sports show. So, you know, I kind of want to invite, of course, now and introduce to our audience our new current sports radio engineer and production assistant here on the show. Now, his name is Isaac Constance. He's actually a freshman here at Michigan State. Isaac, how you doing, my man? Introduce yourself to the people. Now, you know, some people who have been tuning in, we've kind of, you know, molded you into this role. Alex has been working with you for quite some time now to take over this role. But introduce yourself to the people who may not know you.
All right. Well, yeah, first off, I just have to say what a great job Alex has done. I mean, it's amazing. He's been here for, 4 years now, 3 years, and really not missed many shows. And he taught me how to do all of this. I didn't know any of this going in. So it's really an exciting opportunity for myself. And yeah, I'm a freshman journalism student. I love basketball from New Orleans, you know, and I can't wait to get to know you guys better. So
there you go, Isaac Constance. Again, folks, our new current sports radio engineer and PA. Isaac, I tell you what, he's a workhorse, folks, and he knows his stuff, to say the least, okay? So I definitely wanted to do that introduction properly as we start a new era, in a way, here at WKAR's current sports. Folks, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to start today's show by, of course, talking about the Detroit Red Wings. Now, over the weekend, the Red Wings, they fell to the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-1 on Saturday as the Lightning, you know, now it's one game apiece. One game apiece here in this series. And, you know, it's really interesting looking at that game because the Wings had such a great outing in game one. And that's ideally to start a series against, you know, when you're, again, because the Red Wings certainly limped their way into this year's NHL playoffs. So to play, you know, being an 8 seed in the conference and playing a top dog like Tampa Bay, I mean, it had to be encouraging for them. I'm sure looking back at it for the players and Mike Babcock alike, looking at how they were able to steal, quote unquote, game one of that series had to be certainly encouraging, without a doubt. I mean, you get a big win like that to start the series on the road. Very encouraging stuff, but it's like in that game, too, we really saw why Tampa Bay is and were among the best teams in the NHL all year. 5-1 whopping of the Red Wings over the weekend. And, you know, really when looking at the Wings and their postseason woes as of recently throughout the past 3 to 4 years now, you know, not being able to get out the second round of a playoff series in years. I mean, what a blowout loss against a very good team, against the Tampa Bay Lightning. What would that do to the Detroit Red Wings' psyche moving on? That's the big question for me, because let's say they ended up making it a more so a close game than what it was. Again, 5-1, that's a blowout, folks. But let's say they lost by a goal. I mean, still, I think that, you know, from a belief factor, Red Wings fans and players alike would have looked at that loss as more so as, okay, We were right there in that game, which you know, the cliche answer here, when looking at the Red Wings and the way they took the podium and what they said about game two, they felt as though their execution was better in game two than it was overall in game one. Even though, so, you know, they basically say that the 5-1 disparity in that game, it wasn't what it seemed. That's basically what they're saying. But when looking at it, you know, having a 5-1 loss against a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, let's just call it like it was, the Red Wings got the tears whooped at the end of the day, folks. And, you know, again, Babcock talked about how his team made big mistakes throughout that game. And those big mistakes, even though, you know, this team, you know, fought really diligently throughout that game. It was just that second period really, really did it for the Wings, even though the entire team talked about how they love their play in the second period, which I don't know. I think that's really just player and coach speak, to be honest with you. It was really just bad goaltending, though, by Peter Mrazek. And, of course, as that game went on, Mrazek took a seat. Jimmy Howard came in for him. But Peter Mrazek, he let in, what, 4 goals on 18 shots. Ugh, that can't happen. That can't happen. And then, again, I get it. He's a young goalie, 23 years old. This is his first playoff series in his young career. And, you know, he played so great in that first game. And something that really stands out to me is when you look at the shot disparity, the shot on goal disparity so far, when you compare the Detroit Red Wings to the Tampa Bay Lightning, I mean, if you look at it, in game one, in which the Red Wings won, might I add, there was a 40-14 advantage in favor of the Tampa Bay Lightning, folks. So even with that, a 40-14 advantage in favor of the Lightning, the Wings were more efficient with the chances they were given on goal and won that game. And then on the flip side of it, again, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they win the shot on goal disparity as well in game two, a 30-24 advantage, much more competitive advantage, but the Wings get blown out. Oh boy, playoff hockey can be funny sometimes, right? You know, and when you look at both of those numbers, especially in game one, if there was supposed to be a blowout, it was supposed to be in game one where the Tampa Bay Lightning had a 40-14 goal disparity. But Peter Mrazek was magical in game one. I mean, for his playoff debut, he was fantastic. But it was that second period where I think he just really just got lazy. I don't know what it was. He just didn't seem mentally in tune, where he just let goals that he did not let in the net in game one just let fly right past him. Again, 4 goals on 18 shots. That's not going to get it done. Mike Babcock saw that. And, you know, Peter Mrazek took a seat as well as he should have in that game. And, you know, Babcock had also an interesting quote after that game. He said, quote, "They didn't get much, but when they did, they buried it." Sort of the same mantra that the Red Wings had in game one. Now, if anything, you know, looking at reports since Saturday, it's being alluded to that Justin Abdelkader, hey, Michigan State Spartan, right? He will possibly be making his return to hockey for game three, which will, of course, will take place tomorrow. Now, that will allow Babcock some I guess you could say, flexibility to do a lot of things when it comes to his lineups. That will allow him to really split up Henrik Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk, two guys who have really been shouldering the load when it comes to the Detroit Red Wings offense. You can split up those guys and not have them to play together in that first line. So you can really have Abdelkader, Zetterberg, and Datsyuk playing, you know, have each of those guys who have been fantastic and really shouldering the load. When I say, you know, when it comes to shots on goal and scoring, you can have one of those powerhouses in one of those lines. One of those three lines, which is really nice. But the third, because if you look at the third line for the Red Wings, Steven Weiss, you know, Joakim Andersson, Thomas Jerko, they have combined for just one shot on the net. That's not going to get it done. At the end of the day, that is not going to get it done. So that will certainly allow some flexibility and a bit of a luxury for Mike Babcock and his team. But and you look at it, and you know, I sit in the headliners how, you know, this will be a nice, you know, turn of the table for the Wings. Series is tied. They play the next two at home now at Joe Louis Arena. But even with that being said, you look at, you know, because I believe, especially in this time during the year in hockey, home ice advantage is certainly true and there. In any postseason, for that matter, in NBA, whatever it may be, home ice advantage in hockey is huge. But the proof has not been in the pudding when talking about the Detroit Red Wings and how they played at the Joe in the postseason. They're actually 0-3 in their last three home playoff games, 2-8 in their last 10 playoff games. So they've simply, even though they've been at home, they have not gotten the job done at the Joe. And for me, looking at it, I hate to say it, but I really don't see the Wings bouncing back from that game two loss, folks. I mean, I just think there's so much inconsistency with this squad. You just don't know what sort of Wings team you're going to get. And again, looking at the shot on goal disparity, the Lightning, I'm starting to see why the Tampa Bay Lightning were among the league leaders this year when it comes to scoring. Because, I mean, they are so aggressive. I mean, watching that Tampa Bay Lightning team, they have a lot of speed, and they are so aggressive, folks. And, you know, when talk about a Wings team who, again, hasn't had a lot of postseason success as of recently and, you know, still trying to figure things out when it comes to their goalie, And just having, you just never know who's going to step up for this Wings team each and every game when you're going against a Tampa Bay Lightning team that is so aggressive and so efficient when it comes to their attack. I don't know how the Wings can recover from that. I don't know. Now, I caught the Wings in six games, so maybe, you know, with them playing the next two games at home at the Joe, maybe they still won, but that's going to be about it. I don't know. I just don't see the Wings coming back from really the loss that they had on Saturday. It's going to be a big, big hurdle for them. Hopefully, Ablicator can definitely bring some much needed offense for this squad. And what I do like, though, I do like how Mike Babcock came out at the end of Saturday's game and said that, hey, I am sticking with Peter Mrazek for game three. I really like that, folks. And the reason I do, now even though Mrazek certainly could have had a better outing in game two, I thought he had a tremendously solid outing in game one. But let's say, you know, he decided to yank Peter and go with Jimmy Howard in game three. I think that would have been a very bad move, folks, because it becomes a circus at the end of the day. I mean, if you're having this game where you play, okay, because I always wonder before the series even started, whoever got the start, I said whoever got the start for the Red Wings before this series even started, something to really pay attention to see is just how short of a leash Mike Babcock would have on whoever the starting goalie would be. What, you have one bad outing and now your job is in jeopardy and you sit the bench? No, you have to instill confidence in whoever you have out there. And with Mike Babcock, you know, saying that, hey, even though this game sort of definitely could have been a better outing for Peter Mrazek, we're still sticking with him. He's still our guy. We still it instills a belief into Peter Mrazek that, okay, I may have had a rocky outing, but my coach isn't bailing on me just yet. It instills some confidence in a young goalie, without a doubt. Because if he would have been yanked and put in Jimmy Howard, then it becomes an instant media circus. Mike Babcock and Peter Mrazek and Jimmy Howard alike would have to field all of these questions. There would be no – there's the confidence factor this time of the year is so big for any player. And if you have – if the lease is that short where one bad outing cost you your starting job, you can't expect the Wings to even have a chance at winning this series. So I really, really like Mike Babcock making that decision. But again, at the end of the day, I just think Tampa Bay is just a better team, folks. They are a better team with a lot of talent, a lot of resiliency. And I think you're just going to start to see the trade happen again. Happen once again. The Wings will make an early exit out of this year's playoffs. I don't know. What do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Of course, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. before we hit our first break and invite our guests for today's Current Sports. We want to talk about some MSU spring football as well. Of course, the Michigan State football team, of course, held their second spring scrimmage. Of course, I can't believe the spring game is already this weekend. How about that, folks? Saturday will be Michigan State's spring game, green versus white. How about that? And I saw over the weekend, actually, Ohio State, I believe, held their spring game, and they set like a new attendance record. I mean, my goodness, it was like something like nine. It was a ridiculous number. I can't remember what the number was, but my goodness. I mean, of course, being the national champion certainly helps and garners a lot of attention, so really no surprise on that angle. But I'm going to be interested to see how many people come out this weekend. Of course, Current Sports will be in the house. We'll be delivering post-game interviews and all of that jazz. I'll put together a story for you guys. But looking at the second spring scrimmage that, of course, happened over the weekend, the defense has been really impressive. When just looking at the numbers, they have been very, very impressive, folks. The defense used two interceptions, a fumble recovery in the end zone, and a safety to rally past the offense 43-37. In the second spring scrimmage, again on Saturday in Spartan Stadium. Now, the controlled scrimmage utilized a modified scoring system, was 138 plays long, including special teams, and lasted nearly 2.5 hours under the sunny skies and temperatures of near 70 degrees. Yeah, definitely a beautiful day over the weekend. Now, looking at it, I mean, a few players have certainly stood out so far. When just looking at the numbers, of course, there are no cameras there, so we can't exactly see what went down. But, I mean, looking at safety Monte Nicholson, he led the defense with 10 tackles. Defensive back Demetrius Cox had 8 stops with a pass breakup. Linebacker Shane Jones and Darian Harris, who will be on the show on Wednesday, tallied 6 and 5 tackles each, respectively, and Riley Bulla collected 3 stops, including 1.5 for losses of 5 yards and a 4-yard sack for a safety. Folks, this defense seems to be still setting the trend that it is always set for, you know, what pretty much the entire Mark D'Antonio era. I mean, that's a big question because when you have a coach so influential in Pat Narduzzi, that's the thing that everyone's going to be looking at. With the loss of defensive coordinator Pat Narduzzi, who is now the head coach over at the University of Pittsburgh, we all knew that, of course, the defense would possibly take a few steps back because when you lose a leader like that, I mean, yeah, that's going to hurt you. But the talent that this MSU defense still has is pretty impressive, folks. And they're starting to show what the numbers are going to throw up. Now, again, yeah, I get it. It's spring. It's a spring scrimmage. It's spring practice. I always say you gotta throw a big bag of salt when you talk about spring football because, I mean, these aren't teams going against other personnel that don't totally know what's going to be thrown at them. I mean, for the most part, the defense knows what's coming at them. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're starting to see players step up and put up numbers that are formidable. You gotta tip your cap to them. Offensively, Connor Cook completed 7 of 26 throws for 178 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 INTs. Damian Terry was 6 of 10 passing for 52 yards and 1 touchdown. And Tyler O'Connor was 3 of 7 for 25 yards with the second team. Something I'm going to be looking at throughout this this spring practice, the ground attack, the running backs. If you look at it, the ground attack overall gained 208 yards led by Madre London. Some positive reviews I'm hearing left and right out of camp when it comes to London, who had 18 carries for 100 yards, including runs of 29, 18, and 16 yards. London also scored 2 rushing touchdowns, one for 1 yard and another one for 2 yards. Gerald Holmes rushed 12 times for 45 yards, including a long of 16 yards. Going to be very interesting, though. I mean, to see what happens, this Saturday for this team. Because at the end of the day, again, I understand Michigan State, they're not playing a Big Ten foe or not playing in a simulated game for a regular season matchup. But at the same time, all you say, I mean, you can tell certain instincts from certain players no matter what game they're playing in. And right now, I've been very impressed with some of the numbers I've seen. The defense, I think the defense is going to be solid, folks. That's one thing you can pretty much guarantee. I mean, Mark D'Antonio, when he first got the job here at Michigan State, he was known as a defensive coach. He has a defensive mindset. So the defense is going to be there. And we'll see it. The maturation of Connor Cook. Coming into his final year here at Michigan State, he's definitely, you know, when you look at his numbers, he is among some of the best to ever do it behind center here in mid-Michigan, folks. So, hey, you know, again, 17 to 26, 178 yards for Connor Cook. What 2 INTs? He had a few INTs in game one. Scrimmage one. But at the end of the day, again, the defense knows what's coming at him, folks. So again, take that with a grain of salt as well. But at the end of the day, I'm excited to pick, Darian Harris's mind when we'll have him on the show Wednesday near the top of the hour. So you don't want to miss that interview because. You know, just talking with him because, of course, Darian is a part of the countless students who work with us here on Current Sports. He's a Current Sports beat reporter. And just talking to him about, you know, what he's seen throughout spring practice, he is very encouraged that this team could do some great things on the heels of next year. So impressive numbers, though, folks. What do you think? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hear our first break. When we come back, we are going to talk with a young man who certainly tore up the hardwood when it comes to high school hoops this year. Of course, Okemos High School basketball star Connor George, who announced yesterday that he will be taking his basketball talents to Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team, coming on as a preferred walk-on with the squad. You'll hear my chat with Connor George in just a sec. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
Breaking news.
Just take us back to when you first realised something was going on.
Correspondence on the ground.
You have on your roof a Gowrie missile.
Interviews with people that matter.
He's going to win. He still thinks he's winning.
And analysis from experts.
What can we do that we're not now doing?
Making sense of the world in 60 minutes.
This is an incredibly complex, murky, difficult field.
NewsHour from the BBC.
This afternoon at 4 on AM 870 WKAR.
Ladies and gents, welcome back to Current Sports. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, it is time to get to our esteemed guest for today's show. Now, at 6'3", he was one of the area's top players this year and helped the Okemos Chiefs boys basketball team to a 13-9 record. Now, he averaged 23 points and 10.6 rebounds during the regular season and was ranked among the area's leaders in both categories. Now, he also earned Class A All-State recognition from the Associated Press and the Basketball Coaches Association of Michigan. He made 38 threes, shot 48% from the field, and 83% from the charity stripe. How about that? And it was announced over the weekend that he will be taking his talents next year to the Michigan State men's basketball team as a preferred walk-on. Connor George, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Connor?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot for joining us today. First off, big, big news. Again, you will be playing for Tom Izzo's squad next season. I got to ask, you know, to kind of take us through the timeline here, Connor, how did this opportunity present itself?
So, you know, I've grown up in East Lansing, right next to MSU, and I had some interest from some D2 GLIAC schools and some D3s, mm-hmm. and I was talking to the coaches to get some help about my options and take me through everything, and just wanted some advice on what to do, and kind of the idea of me walking on someplace kind of entered the conversation, and we were talking about walk-ons, and I was like, hey, can I walk on here? Would that work? And they were like, yeah, that'd be fine, and we talked about that a lot longer after the idea popped into our heads, and, you know, after thinking about it and with my family and everything, that's what I wanted to do.
That is fantastic, Connor. Now, I understand that, of course, MSU assistant coach Dwayne Stevens had a big hand in getting this thing and making it happen, I should say. What is your relationship like with Dwayne Stevens, and what did he tell you during the whole recruiting process that hinted towards you being a part of the Spartan program, possibly?
Well, I don't it's good. My mom is the MSU volleyball coach, right. So I've known the whole coaching staff kind of throughout my time here in East Lansing. It was really, he's seen me play, and he liked the way I played, and talked to Coach Izzo about it, and they were really nice and generous enough to allow me to walk on.
Now, of course, you know, as you just brought up, your mom being, of course, the head women's volleyball coach here at Michigan State. I mean, with that connection, I mean, how well have you gotten to know Coach Izzo and the team, Connor?
You know, it's not as much as you probably think. He's a busy man. They're a busy team.
Yeah.
They're out there winning competing for championships every year, and they don't really have an off season. So, I've met him. I'm sure until 3 months ago, if I saw him, he probably wouldn't remember me really. But, you know, I've obviously me. I look up to him, and I've always wanted to play for him. And it's a tremendous opportunity, and I can't wait to get it started.
Now, Connor, of course, with you growing up in this area and, again, having that local tie with your mom being a part of this program as a coach, I mean, what is the allure of the Michigan State men's basketball program? I mean, when you've grown up and seen, you know, what Tom Izzo has been able to build here, what attracts you and makes you excited about this program?
what attracts me is just the fact that every year, like I said earlier, they're competing for championships, and they are just the top of the of basketball right now, and everyone in the country wants a little piece of Michigan State. They want every high schooler, you know, that's a dream. I think, and it's a dream of mine, especially just to be able to compete with the best quality players in the country, day in, day out. It's exciting stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with Okemos High School basketball star Connor George, who announced over the weekend that he will be taking his talents next year to the Michigan State men's basketball team as a preferred walk-on. Now, Connor, I want to talk about being a preferred walk-on for this squad next year. Now, I got to ask you from a strictly a player, you know, perspective here. I got to ask you, will you be fulfilled with possibly taking a step back as a preferred walk-on, as opposed to possibly going to a program like a Grand Valley or Northwood, where you may have been starting right off the bat and getting a lot of playing time? Are you going to be fulfilled as a basketball player is what I'm asking?
This is just an incredible experience that I'm going to be allowed to do. I can't wait to get it started, and I'm going to become the best basketball player that I can be at MSU. And you know, maybe if I go to a Grand Valley or Northwood, I'm not gonna see the type of level every day that I will at MSU, and I'm just gonna become a much better basketball player, and I want to become the best basketball player that I possibly can during this 4 maybe 5 year span.
Right. Yeah. So when weighing this option, it wasn't about playing time or anything of that nature. It was about the quality of program that you wanted to be a part of, right?
It definitely played a little bit of a role in my decision making. I do, obviously you want to play wherever you go. That's obvious. I wanted to play. That was a factor in my decision. But at the end of the day, you know, you want to play for MSU. You want to play for those types of teams. And anything that I can do to help MSU out, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, Connor, when you guys sat down, of course, with your family and respective basketball personnel that you've grown around and have been a big influence in your life, I mean, what sort of conversations were had when making this decision to come to Michigan State, knowing that, of course, you know, coming to a program like that, there's going to be a lot of talent on this program? Actually, if you look at Michigan State's recruiting class and where they're ranked coming into to next season, I mean, they're like top five now, especially with the addition of Caleb Swanigan from Fort Wayne, Indiana, Deontay Davis, Mr. Basketball of Michigan. I mean, when having those conversations, what went through your head? What went through your head when you thought about this leap?
It's, you know, a lot of our conversations were just about what I want to do in college, and if I want to help a program, if I can be a part of helping a program like MSU reach a national championship, and if I want to be a part of something special, and if you go to MSU, you're pretty sure that something amazing is going to happen. You can almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
Every year. And that's one of the key factors. And obviously, like you said, we got a big time recruiting class coming in, and I'm looking forward to playing with the guys. And you never know what's gonna unravel here at MSU. Like, you've had past walk-ons that have stepped up and played some big roles in the past for MSU, and you just never know. And I'm willing to work hard and do whatever is possible to get on the court.
Connor, what challenges and benefits come with being a walk-on?
Oh, well, the challenge is definitely you're starting from the bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to work your way up. You're not getting the scholarship or anything. You have to work your butt off. That's going to be a major challenge, and you can't think negatively. You got to think positive, and eventually good things are going to happen. And that's what was the next part of the question?
What's the benefits? You talked about the challenges. What are the benefits of being a walk-on?
The benefits of being a walk-on is just, you know, you get to be a part of such a prestige college,
right,
in Michigan State. I'm really looking forward to it. It's gonna be a blast.
Now, your mom is one fantastic coach. We've actually had her as a guest on Current Sports TV and, of course, Current Sports Radio. And she's unbelievable. I mean, she's unbelievable what she does. I mean, getting this this MSU women's volleyball program to the level that it is in a whole national perspective, I should say. I mean, with her being a head coach here at Michigan State, what advice has she given you, Connor, when making this decision? And also, I mean, talk about just the overall influence that she has had on your life.
For the advice that she's given me of recruiting, it's really, she told me that it's my decision, and she obviously gave me some advice. She's talking about, you know, not even basketball-wise, she's talking about academically. MSU is pretty top-notch, and you're going to get a lot of help. You got all the tutors and everything. You're in a place to succeed at MSU, academically too, not just athletically.
Right.
And then as a person, just advice in general, she just raised me to be a good person on and off the court, and she's really helped me a lot with life lessons and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's great, Connor. So what will you be studying academically when you become a Spartan?
I'm looking to get into communications.
Nice.
I get there.
Do you know what you want to do with it, or just kind of test the waters right now?
I'm just testing the waters right now.
There you go. Gotta love that. Now, you know, I gotta ask you, Connor, because I tell you what, it was a joy, you know, covering you as a player with the Okemos program throughout your 4 years there. What are you going to miss about your high school basketball career, or just high school hoops in general?
You know, the relationships with the players. Is something that's I'm never gonna forget. The team, we just had such an incredible little run here. You know, not a lot of hype, if you want to say, to our team this year at all. And actually, we were supposed to be like second to last in the league or something. Finished well below 500.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to battle and compete every day, like we had nine losses on the year. But if you want to look at 5 point or less losses,
right?
There were a lot of them, and if a couple things go our way, you know, we end up with a much better record, and that's pretty incredible from where we started and where we were supposed to finish.
Right.
Yeah.
What was it like playing for head coach Jeff Wanch?
He's a great guy. I love Coach Wanch. He's such a good guy, and he's all about the character of the team. I feel like going into every game, I was very confident because I felt like he was there to get us prepared, and I felt like going on the court for game time, we were more prepared than our opponent. I felt like, and that was key to our success this year.
Again, folks, Connor George, Okemos High School boys basketball player, who will be joining Tom Izzo in the Spartan Hoop program next year as a preferred walk-on. Connor, I want you to fill in the blank here for me. On the basketball court, Connor George does blank the best.
Rebound.
Rebounding. Gotcha. That's the best part of your game.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's one of them.
Solid. And you also, I mean, looking at your stats here, very impressive on the year, Connor. I mean, as I just rattled off in the introduction, I mean, you made 38 threes, shot 48% from the field, 83% from the charity stripe. I mean, is it intimidating at all to think that you're going to be taking your talents to a Division I program? Of course, another level. Any high school kid who makes that leap, whether it be D2, D3, doesn't matter, D1 especially, making that leap from high school hoops to that sort of level in collegiate hoops. I mean, is it intimidating at all, Connor?
Yeah, absolutely, especially when you're watching them every day on TV. It's scary, you know. They're big time celebrities over here in East Lansing. You know, everyone's looking up to them and talking about them. You know, you go anywhere and you're hearing people talk about Michigan State basketball. To be on that team that's kind of scary too. They're big boys. They're big strong boys and very physical. And I'm ready to battle with them and succeed with them.
What was it like watching Tom and his team make a really improbable run to the Final Four down in Indy this year? How was watching that, Connor?
It was incredible. That was such a great run. It was everyone in East Lansing was having fun watching that, I'm sure. Just so happy for him, and hopefully we can do it again.
Yeah, certainly. All right. Well, you're coming in with a pretty high heralded recruiting class. Have you gotten a chance to meet anybody on the team yet? Have you? What's the camaraderie like? Even though I know it's very early, heck, you still haven't even graduated high school yet, Connor. But have you talked to any of the players on the team or any of the upcoming recruits?
No, not yet. No.
Gotcha. All right, in time, my friend. Taking a stride, Connor. You're gonna have a great career. I'm definitely excited to see the great things that you bring to the table for this team. Again, folks, Connor George, Okemos High School boys basketball player, who will be joining Tom Izzo and the Spartan Hoop program next year as a preferred walk-on. Connor, thanks so much for joining me today, and you take care. All right.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Connor. Yeah, Connor George, so well spoken to still be a kid in high school, right? Gotta love that. All right, we got a few breaking news stories that just came here on my phone. Lalisa DeCisa, Carolyn Rodich, both of those individuals win titles at the 119th Boston Marathon. Second victory for DeCisa and first for Rodich. Also, the NFL regular season schedule is going to be released tomorrow in a two-hour special that starts at 8 p.m. on ESPN. And last but certainly not least, the Red Wings have officially announced that Justin Abdelkader will be returning for Game 3 against Tampa Bay after, of course, missing the first two games of the series. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll have weekend winners for you and also chat a bit about the NBA playoffs. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Man, you know what? I can't believe that we are now just 12 days away from the biggest boxing bout in the history of really all of the sport. Floyd Mayweather Jr., of course, will be taking on Manny Pacquiao on May 2nd at MGM Grand Casino in Las Vegas. And I tell you what, these two, I mean, we've been waiting on this fight now for, what, 5 years, really? I remember when this whole Floyd and Manny were really, really at the top of their games. We're not saying that they're not now, but, of course, Manny has had a few heartbreaking losses in the span of 5 years. Floyd still is undefeated. You know, the man does a great job at picking and choosing his fights. But we've been calling for this fight for quite a long time, folks, and you know, I remember this—the hype surrounded by just trying to get this fight done. I mean, that's been the fight within the fight, right? But you know, these two know that this is the fight of their careers, their respective careers. I mean, Floyd, I don't believe has fought anyone that has the speed and agility and just overall power of a Manny Pacquiao, and you know, vice versa for Manny Pacquiao when looking at a Floyd Mayweather Jr. I mean, hey, the proof is in the pudding. The man hasn't lost. He hasn't lost. He's undefeated, folks. So with that being said, I mean, both of these fighters know that they have to be on their A game, on their A-plus game. And it's very interesting. I'm looking at here at an article from Floyd Mayweather, who is actually undergoing negative 220-degree chirotherapy. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what chirotherapy means, but I do know that negative 220 degrees is pretty cold, I would imagine. Now, he's going through a negative 220-degree chirotherapy bath to heal his aches and pains. Reading the article here, it says, that, quote, Floyd Mayweather will do anything to beat Manny Pacquiao, blah, even subject himself to negative 220-degree nitrogen gas during chirotherapy sessions intended to heal his body. Now, this is actually coming from TMZ Sports. How about that? Now, TMZ Sports spoke to David Levi, owner of Sub-Zero Recovery in Vegas, who tells us that Floyd makes daily and sometimes nightly trips to his business for the insanely cold therapy. Now, the chiro sessions last 90 seconds to 3 minutes, and according to Levi, it helps to enrich blood, expel toxins, and also does a bunch of other cool stuff. Levi said that, quote, Floyd comes in every day. I'm used to getting calls at 3 or 4 a.m. with Floyd asking me to open the facility so he can use the machine. And as for the misery of sitting in negative 220 degree cold, Floyd hates getting in, but he knows what it does for him, so he tolerates it. Wow, Floyd is really trying to do anything to make sure he is in tip-top shape. And I also saw another article concerning Manny Pacquiao. And Manny Pacquiao, exactly. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the speed bag that Manny uses during his training has a good old picture, painted picture, of Floyd Mayweather on the bag to serve as motivation when he's working out. I can't wait for this fight, folks. Again, that fight is going to be on May 2nd in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand Casino. But as you see, both gentlemen are going to extremes to make sure they are prepared mentally and physically for that fight. Entertaining stuff. All right, folks, we're 10 minutes left in the show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Go ahead and call in if you want to chat about anything that is on your sports noggin. But it is Monday, and each and every Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we love to look at the weekend that was in the world of sports and bring to you our weekend winners. Just who exactly had the best weekend in the world of sports? Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Yes, that's right, folks. You hear the music. Time for weekend winners. When we look at the weekend that was in the world of sports, and bring to you who exactly had the best weekend. So, first off, I want to shout out this gentleman because, man, he's been really trying to get out of a bit of a funk that has lasted now for 5 years and was ended over the weekend. Now, his name is Jim Furyk, of course, of the Professional Golf Association Tour, PGA Tour. And Jim Furyk won his first PGA Tour title in 5 years, winning the RBC Heritage in a battle with Kevin Kisner that went to two playoff holes. It was very entertaining to watch that, actually. Now, it's so funny because that golf match was broadcast on CBS during the day. The final round of it was broadcast on CBS during the day. But due to the time difference, I mean, word had already got out. It was a replay of what had happened earlier in the day. And I went on ESPN, actually, before I started watching that playoff, and the cat was already out the bag, and it said, hey, Jim Furyk, you know, snaps the five-year streak of not winning a PGA Tour title, excuse me. And I'm like, oh, man, why do I even watch this now? But it was very entertaining, to say the least, because anytime golf goes to a playoff hole, oh, it's fun to watch. It is certainly fun to watch, folks. I mean, it's like the equivalent of going to overtime in football or basketball or soccer, whatever sport it is, okay? So, I mean, a lot of chips are on the line during those moments, and Jim Furyk certainly handled himself in stride. But it's just great to see Jim win because, you know, he's one of my favorite guys in golf because he handles himself with such class, such dignity. And, you know, he's one of my favorite characters in the game. He has that awkward swing. He has one of the most awkward swings you'll ever see in the game of golf. And he's so cool. I love Jim. So it was great to see him get out of that funk, which I didn't know lasted 5 years. So, again, Jim Furyk winning his first PGA Tour title in 5 years. Also, as much as I don't want to hand this weekend winner out, I got to because, you know, the man has been trying to get back to the league for quite some time, really. But I really thought when he took this analyst job, I thought that, you know, we can pretty much put it to bed. But, yeah, the Tim Tebow machine has been started up once again after the Eagles brought in Tim Tebow for a workout back in March. Tebow is set to sign a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Wow. I mean, I can pretty much guess that, you know, for the next month or two or three or four or five, Whenever I turn on ESPN's First Take with Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, they are constantly going to lead the show with Tim Tebow. I mean, my goodness. It just becomes a media fiasco, which is – I got it because, I mean, he was so good in college. Then he comes in the NFL, didn't really pan out, but there were so many people rooting for him because he's such a great guy. You know, he's so in touch with his spiritual realm. I mean, Tim Tebow is a hard guy not to like. So from that perspective, you certainly root for him. But as far as his quarterback intangibles and just how good he is on the gridiron, Tim Tebow didn't really impress other than the first year he was in the league. And he, you know, he had that big playoff stretch with, I believe, who was that? With the Denver Broncos, I think. But, man, it was a struggle after that. But, you know, with Tim Tebow now, you know, he's set to sign a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. He flew to Philly last night just in time for the start of the offseason workouts beginning today. With the addition of Tebow, this gives the Eagles four QBs on the roster. That includes Sam Bradford, Mark Sanchez, and Matt Barkley. Now, Tebow last suited up in an NFL uniform in 2012 as a member of the New England Patriots. So, I'm really rooting for the guy because I think, you know, he's got a great heart. He's got a good work ethic. But again, when you're competing with three other guys on the squad, it's going to be very tough for him to get that starting role. I just didn't think, watching Tim Tebow's career, I didn't think he was that great of a quarterback. I don't know. And you know, and I tell you what, he's pretty good as an analyst on television. I thought he had found a niche, and I'm like, okay, he seems really into it. He knows his stuff. He comes off very eloquently. Hey, the kid's got a great future in the world of TV broadcasting. But, you know, hey, when you're young and you still have any form of athletic talent and you were a stud at what you did at the college level, at least, you still have some hope that maybe you can still play this game. So, hey, Tim Tebow, you're one of my weekend winners because, hey, you're still trying, my man. The dream is certainly not dead, at least. Also, hey, how about Kyrie Irving for the Cleveland Cavaliers? Was he good or what? I watched that game against the Boston Celtics, the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Boston Celtics, the very first game in the Eastern Conference playoffs for those two respective teams. And this was actually the playoff debut for Kyrie Irving. First time he's made the playoffs, first time he's ever played in the playoff game. And he rattles off 30 points against Boston. Wow. He was impressive, folks. He actually came just 2 points shy of having the best playoff debut in Cleveland Cavaliers franchise history. Now, of course, that honor goes to the king himself, LeBron James, who did it when he was, of course, first drafted to the Cavaliers back in the day. He had 32 points, so just 2 points shy of at least matching LeBron James's 32 points that he had in his playoff debut. But Kyrie Irving, he's so good. I really think that he's the best ball handler. I think that you can put probably Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook up there with the best ball handlers in the league. I mean, those guys just do things with the basketball that you just shake your head and say, whoa, that didn't just happen. And they're so in control. I mean, Kyrie Irving's just unbelievable. So a great debut. Great debut for Kyrie Irving. I think that the Cavs, I mean, they'll probably handle Boston. I could see a sweep in that series, even though I really like young Isaiah Thomas, not the Detroit Pistons Isaiah Thomas, folks. Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics. Who had an interesting journey to the NBA. A lot of talent on that Boston team, but just overmatched when you talk about LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving. I mean, those three alone, all three of them had fantastic games that day. But, you know, I want to shout out Kyrie Irving for his playoff debut. Also, sticking with the NBA playoffs here, how about the Los Angeles Clippers? I got to put them on my list as well because they are going against, and what I think, this series is the most entertaining out of all the first-round matchups. There are a few others as well. I also like that Pelicans and Golden State Warriors matchup as well. I think that'll be more competitive as that series goes on. But it was just fun to watch the Clippers sort of mature. They're maturing, I think, folks. And you saw the Clippers last night going against San Antonio Spurs, a team that, again, they're the NBA champs, defending champions, folks. And Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, they looked unbelievable on the court together. I think that's the best I've ever seen those two play cohesively in one game together. I mean, they were unbelievable. So maybe the Clippers get over the hump here. Maybe we could start to see a trickle-down effect. I really would love to see the Clippers match up with the Warriors, maybe in the Western Conference Finals. So, but hats off to Chris Paul, CP3, and Blake Griffin. They certainly handled business and had me certainly wiping the crust out my eyes this morning, okay? Because that game didn't end until like 1 a.m. All right, well, I want to give a shout-out to Connor George, our guest for today's Current Sports. Again, he was will be becoming a preferred walk-on for the Michigan State men's basketball team. He was an Okemos High School basketball star. Thanks a lot, Connor, for joining me on today's Current Sports. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning into today's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic Monday, folks, and be easy, people.